Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then a craft life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 16 of The Craft Life. And we're back here in Lincoln Beard for another episode with two really phenomenal people. And I guess a fun fact is that you two lovely birds got married over here too, right?
Yes, we did. Two years ago, back in March.
And you two are truly a power couple. And I say that for behalf of my other half, Sam, who wanted to come, but she's at work till 5. So she was unable to come and meet you guys. But we really do look up to you guys. We do really support everything you guys are doing. And without further ado, welcome
Hadar,
welcome Madi. I'm not going to get you to trouble. you two are really freaking rock stars, man. Amazing content creators, just overall good human beings, you know, from talking to Dan and everybody else who knows you guys outside and in. Like, you know true people when other people talk good about you, you know. Like, I haven't heard any negative words about you guys. And, you know, I met you in Master Brewing Academy and Todd, you know, talked highly of you. You're just an awesome dude, you know. Learned a lot. Can't keep bragging about you guys straight up. And you guys have a really fascinating thing going on in the work, and we're excited to dive into it. So this episode, we're going to be, you know, super fun, super casual. I have my Word doc open right here so I can take notes. I was going to bring my notebook. I actually forgot it. But I'm definitely going to take notes because I'm ready to, like, hear all the dope fire knowledge that y'all got to drop on this episode, you know, on your journey from now embarking to Gypsy Brewing. And creating your new craft beer brand, super dope. And hear your background and everything to it, you know. So I guess that's enough talking for me, man. So what's up with you guys?
Well, first off, I'm super humbled that a lot of people talk nicely about us. I mean, not that
I'm like, especially about you. Just kidding.
Well, he's a Broward folks.
I am very petty. I am super petty, but. No, man, I am a brat as well.
I feel like I'm the only one that sees that side of him.
Well, I mean, we love, I guessing that, you know, all the good things that has been told about us is, you know, we just love to give back, and like, we love to be a part of the community, and like, hopefully, you know, it comes back full circle, you know, just karma.
Yeah, you know, just for sure. I believe in karma. 100%.
Doing good, receiving good, you know, all that good stuff. So, I mean, I guess we'll just go down the list.
Let's start off. Like, what was going on in your world before the brewing world?
She actually has a much more interesting story than mine. So, I'll let her kick it off.
I think both of you guys have interesting
stories. So, I was in medical school. My background, I'm Nicaraguan, but like all Hispanic families or any culture, I'm guessing, you know, your parents, if they're immigrants, they want you to be a doctor or a policeman or a lawyer, something that's like high standard, quote unquote.
What they think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust me, my parents are from Caribbean and they wanted me to be a doctor. I was like, Mom, I don't know anything about doctor.
I had to be the cop. But my mom was like, oh, you're either a doctor or you're nothing. And I, even in high school, I did 4 years in Barbara Goldman where they had like a magnet program for like graphic design. And that's what I did. And my mom's like, well, that's all nice and dandy, but you better be taking your, AP classes in math and science. I finished high school a year early because that's how advanced I was because of my mom. Mm-hmm. But graphic for me was like my way of just being creative because I love being creative and taking pictures and editing, restoring old photos to make them look brand new. And my mom kept telling me that's just a hobby. That's just a hobby. It's not a real job. It's literally stuck. I years later got into medical school at Nova Southeastern University.
Go Nova. I was a shark as well.
Huh?
I was a shark as well.
Oh, nice. What'd you do?
I got my master's in marketing.
Oh, cool. Well, I wish I would have done that, but here I am, ton of loans later.
Me and you both.
I at least can say that if someone drops down on the floor anywhere that I'm at, I am CPR certified. You got them. I can do whatever needs to be done to bring back that person's life back.
Awesome.
But yeah, I was doing my rounds and I saw all my friends who ate, breathed, slept and dreamt about medicine. And I'm like, I'm not like this. I know that I'm good at it. I know that I can apply all the things that I learned, but I don't want to do this. And my mom just kept pushing me to the point that even my sister was like, I don't see you as a doctor, Nana. Like, she calls me Nana. But she's like, Nana, I don't see you as a doctor. Like, you're very creative. Like, you should do what makes you you. And like, when I see you as like in your uniform to go to the hospital, like, I don't see you. Like, it's kind of like you're being another person. And that, like, then when she said that, because my sister's never wrong when she says things to me, like from an outside perspective, I started to analyze things a little bit more and I'm like, she's right. Like, I'm not happy. I don't want to do this. I just started thinking over what I really wanted to do. And then I took the leap. I was already dating him for 2 years. Oh no, it's like a year in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, would you still love me if I didn't become a doctor? Because, you know, it's like a big thing, a big change.
For sure.
And he's like, I don't care what you do.
As long as you're happy.
As long as you're happy, yes. Mm. And like, that is the best thing that I could have ever heard. And I ran with it. The only ultimatum that he gave me was, hey, I'm going to give you 6 months because that's as long as I can take care of both of us. I was already living with him. And he's like, get clients. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not telling you how much.
Get one client. I just want her to get one client within, like,
to know that
for sure, man,
doing something with this. And I'm like, okay.
But that's awesome. Giving you that, like, kind of that supportive pressure, but making sure, like, you're getting money, you know. So
years down the line now, he says it, not me, but I'm sugar mama now.
Facts.
I take care of us. I love my job. I'm so happy. I get to travel. I get to tell other people's stories, which is what you're doing right now.
For sure.
Like, I do that in pictures. I do that in videos. I do that in content creation. I do that with events and helping it be promoted and bringing people into one roof, into those brands' roofs, you know? So
for people who don't follow you on social media, which everybody should follow both of these too, what is your title? What actually do you do?
So my personal Instagram just started as fun. Mm-hmm. My friends always ask me, hey, make me an itinerary when I wanted to travel or when they want to go eat somewhere in a certain area. They're like, hey, send me a list of things to do. That, I was always known for that. And I just started doing that on Instagram
because
it was really what I did for my friends.
Yeah.
And it just grew. And I guess it aligns with what I'm doing at, with work, because I have to grow social media platforms for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm just a content creator. Like, I hate to use the word influencer because
we don't use the word influencer.
Yeah, it's just
because there's it's a little bit more than that. You know, the influencer. Yeah. I mean, the word influencer is tainted. But you guys are content creators. I mean, we're all content creators, and you create value through that your content. So, and you do influence people at the same token. So,
but I also don't like being called an influencer because anyone's an influencer. You're an influencer. Sure. My mom, even though she doesn't have Instagram, is an influencer.
For sure. 100%.
Everyone literally is an influencer. And yeah, I guess I would just say content creator. I'm a person who creates a photo album for you to look at online digitally and be like, hey, I like that. I want to go too.
Nice. Now, are your clients based in the craft beer industry, or you have clients outside of that?
Most of them are in the craft beer community. I do have restaurants and I do have wine shops, because I'm also a sommelier, so I love, my first love was wine.
Nice.
I do love beer just as much, but I think that the reason why I have such a great palate is because I started with wine. Which is not saying that beer is not just as, it's not as complex as wine, but you know, there's a lot of more things that go into wine, and like, wine literally is viewed as complex.
I would argue that beer is actually more complex than, or
as complex.
It's as complex as wine.
But it's not
because of all the different ingredients that you could throw into it.
I'm a whiskey guy, so I love whiskey.
But he'll tell you, when he was studying for his level 2 Cicerone test, I was the one that helped him with his tasting, because I would catch things on the fly. And he's like, how do you smell that? And mind you, I have really bad allergies. So the fact that I capture every smell and every scent is beyond me.
You're born for this in your DNA.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's your superpower.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, my superpower is that I can smell when he's high and low. He's diabetic. So when his sugar is high or low, I can smell it. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, you guys are match made in heaven. That's perfect.
It worked out because honestly, like when going back to when she was in medical school, like we started dating and then I found out she was a doctor. I'm like, oh, perfect. So if I ever fall low, you like you know how to take care of me. Like, you know, you're not freaked out.
I already knew.
Yeah. Her first words to me were, oh, what was it? Are you diseased? No, or do you have a disease? I'm like, what?
We had just met.
What?
We were on an unofficial date and he's about to give me a goodnight kiss. And he gets so close to me and I smell him. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, he smells familiar. I'm like, do you have a disease? And then he's like, what? I'm like, not like an STD. I mean, like, diabetic.
Yo, she can scope out. That would be a trick.
How did you know? I'm like, I don't know. I smell it.
For sure. Yeah, she has this superpower that she could tell with whether my blood sugars are high or low, which is
that's
chef's kiss. Fantastic.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. 100%.
But
so what were you doing at this time, man?
So yeah, man, I mean when we first started dating, she was in med school and I was actually a civil engineer. I was
smart as dude.
I'd argue that.
He knows how to finagle numbers.
Yeah. I will say I'm a huge math nerd. I love math. The only science I did love was physics. I hated chemistry, which is funny because now I deal with chemistry all the time now.
Sure.
So yeah, so I actually graduated in 2013 from FIU, Go Panthers. And after that, I had worked with my father. He's actually also a civil engineer.
Okay.
And our discipline was both structures. He actually got his PhD and he's running a company down in Little Havana. It's around Little Havana. It's a YHCE. Use of Fashion Consulting Engineering. You're welcome.
And nice little pitch right there.
a little pitch.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, facts. Because I don't work there anymore. So, yeah.
You can charge up for this.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I loved it. I loved what I did. But what really turned it around is, you know, Monty had already mentioned I'm a type 1 diabetic. Have been since the age of 2. Literally the worst probably diabetic ever. Because I love sweets. I mean, obviously, I'm drinking beer right now. But fun fact, you can actually drink beer as a diabetic. You just have to watch your numbers. So besides that fact, I actually was diagnosed with cancer back in 2012.
Oh, wow.
And thyroid cancer. And, you know, I'm fine now. I'm in remission. And one of the things that I learned while going through that and after the surgery and after the radiation therapy and all that stuff.
This is the beginning of last year?
No, 2012. Back in 2012.
Yeah, 2012. Sorry, 2012. I don't know why I said 2020. I was like.
It's all a blur now.
It's all a blur. So after that, I was like, you know, I was perfectly content with living my life out, just sitting behind a desk, working, making my money, doing my thing. And then like, you know, just doing that and taking over my dad's company eventually.
Gotcha.
After the cancer, I was like, can we curse?
Yeah, absolutely.
After the cancer, I was like, fuck that. Didn't make sure. I was like, fuck that. I need to live my life. I need to have fun. I traveled a lot more. I became an ultra runner, which is like my favorite thing.
I respect.
And
you said what?
Traveled and like I actually so Mari's Nicaraguense. I'm Lebanese. I've actually been to Nicaragua more times than Mari has.
Nicaragua.
It's awesome. That's where I ran my first ultra marathon, and like that place has a special place in my heart. And I love the people there, the food, everything, amazing people. So we started dating. The whole thing happened with her switching careers from, you know, wanting to be a doctor.
And at this time, you're still doing your engineer
thing. I was still an engineer. Okay. So back in 2019, that's when we got married. In the beginning of 2019, John Falco, actually, who is my boss now, actually approached me.
And Falco actually married us.
Yeah. So,
I would be doing marketing here for him. Like everything just in our life always comes full circle. And we always have this quote that says, the universe always has our back. Everything always works out.
Yep.
Create your own waves, yes, but never go against currents. It's kind of like in the ocean. If you're going to be navigating a boat, don't go against currents. Yes, make your waves to go where you want to go, create your own path. But life and you know, God, whatever you want to call it, the universe or something great greater
destiny
than us, that just tries to warn you. And like, that's where your gut feeling comes in, where it's like, I shouldn't be doing this. This feels wrong. And it's like, listen to that. Because that's just life trying to like guide you.
Guide you, for sure.
For us, it always works out no matter what. We'll stress because, let's say like right now, I was stressing because I was going to be late because the traffic is super terrible. But like, I always remind myself because it's something that we tell each other all the time. It's like, it always works out. Relax.
And it worked out perfectly.
Exactly. So,
boom.
It always does. So,
so we actually met Falco because I was actually loved like his beard already. I had been coming here for, you know, since they opened.
So at the time, were you like homebrewing or anything or?
So not at that time, actually. So back in when I started coming to Lincoln's, I wasn't homebrewing yet, but thought like I had, well, I was doing a fundraiser with St. Jude. So I actually do have a nonprofit. It's called Samurai Piggy and Friends.
Oh, wow.
And it's a recognized 501c3. Nice. So what we do with that is I raise money for kids with diabetes, cancer, the special needs and the less fortunate. So like I'll host events and then like any money raised with those events, I'll donate to specific charities.
You probably need a tag team on one of these things, man, for sure.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'm super, super down.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, I just got the chills right when you were saying that.
So, yeah, one of the events we did is I was running for 24 hours with the hopes of reaching 100 miles running in that said 24 hours.
Like I said, it's like.
So I was running.
I mean, you guys are like superheroes compared to
we partnered with St. Jude's for that event, and one of the people who donated monies for said event was Falco with Lincoln's Beard Brewing. So wow. You know they always had a special place in our heart, and even after that, like we had
Falco
met.
And Todd.
Yeah, Falco and Todd. So that's when we got to first meet Falco, and like you know when we became really close, and then you know after that we asked him if you know like some years passed, we asked him if you know we could host our wedding here at the brewery or like up here on the mezzanine where we're actually doing this podcast.
And we were
right now
asking for pricing. He's like, oh, I won't charge you anything under one condition. And I'm like, okay. I'm like waiting for like something weird, and he's like, can I officiate the wedding? Can I get you guys? Wow. Can I marry you guys? And I'm like, bro, say no more. Yes.
That is
and he's
amazing.
Like,
so he did that online certificate.
No. Like, say no. And I'm like, no, what the hell? Yes. Hell yeah.
So he hosted our wedding, or he officiated our wedding. We got married here.
That is awesome.
And maybe a month or two later, so I had already been homebrewing by this time.
Yeah, he was already homebrewing.
A month or two later, he's like, hey, I'm opening up Strange Beast. I want you to be the head brewer.
He knew that he wanted it out, and he was trying to give him the out.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, what's crazy about that is, you know, I only started, so Thirsty Samurai Piggy, that's my, you know, that's my Instagram handle. I used to have another one called Samurai Piggy, which was just basically all running and events and travels and all that stuff. That was kind of like my more personal one with the involvement of everything else minus beer. And I actually started my Thirsty Samurai Piggy page because of Madi. Like, you know, I would join her on her media dines and stuff, and I'd just kind of be sitting there twiddling my thumbs. She'd be talking to chefs, she'd be taking pictures, she'd be doing all these things, and I'd just be there like, all right, when can I eat? Can I eat that yet? Are you done taking pictures? Like,
yeah.
So she's like, hey, why don't you, you know, like instead of just sitting there, like, why don't you, you know, do something? You know, why don't you, you know, you like beer. Why don't you get into beer? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So
as a hobby, I never even had an intention. I wasn't telling him, hey, this is going to be your new line of work. Like, no, I was just like,
doing it as a hobby.
You're going to be here already with me. Like,
might as well
showcase beer. It's something that you love, right? So.
So one of the first brewery that I did one for, like, so I started doing interviews. I had a YouTube page for a little bit, and I started doing beer reviews, stuff like that. Copper Point Brewing was the first one that actually like brought me in, like showed me, gave me the tour of the brewery. I got to talk to the head brewer. I got to talk to, you know, the owners, got to meet them, do all those things. And then like little by little, that's, you know, how my life led me to where I am today. So I started brewing at Strange Beast, you know, Fire Pit Hospitality. They came back, they bought out Lincoln's, and now I'm brewing with Danny, and we're bringing out all these beers, and, you know, that's how we ended up here. You know, it's just such a crazy thought that, like, we got married here, had no intention of ever, you know, leaving my profession of engineering.
Life is crazy like that, man.
Yeah. You know,
but also, one thing that I wanted to, like, point out is, like, he mentioned karma in the beginning, and, like, karma came back to him, because he had my back when I wanted to change my profession, like literally had my back, held it down, took care of me. I had no money. I was a medical student, like you make no money.
Yeah.
And then I did him the favor too, where I was like, dude, don't worry about money. we're good. Like, do you? And he's like, it's going to be a big pay cut. I don't care. Are you going to be happier? Yes. Then say no more. Do it.
And that's
so
awesome.
Like, it just came back. You get me? And yeah, like, that's what I always tell him. Like, always be nice to anyone, even if they're douchey or like mean, or that's their problem. You know, how people act is a reflection on them, but like, never stoop down to their level, because it comes back to you, good or bad. Like, the universe really knows to give you back what you put in.
100,000%.
So,
couldn't say it better myself.
And it was funny that I was actually literally about to say that. So yeah, I mean, well, no, you're good. Like, I love that you brought it out. Like, our lives, our roles reversed. You know what I mean? Like, where I was an engineer taking care of us, which is getting into digital marketing now. Like, and I think it's a known fact in the industry that brewers don't make that much money.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm able to, you know, pay my bills and stuff. But like, this one holds it down. Like, she's.
It's our life.
She's the foundation that holds the house together.
Power couple right here, man. That's what's up. So then let's segue into that. So you guys, you know, you're brewing, you're doing your digital marketing thing. You guys are killing it. So what led into wanting to create your own craft brand?
Honestly, man, I think it was
a little
bit of boredom and big, the 100% 2020, just being home, you know, like, we were both scared, or I mean, at least I was scared, you know.
You can say your piece in the same
way. Yeah. So honestly, like, I have to get, like, you know, hats off to Falco and Todd for holding it down, you know, for key, like, letting everybody, like, not a single person was let go. Not a single person was furloughed. Everybody still had their jobs. You know, obviously people worked like smaller shifts because like it was a full on quarantine. But they always found a way to make it work. And then, like, you know, there was that little gap for 2 weeks where the industry was able to open again. But, you know, we opened and then it's like, oh, close again. So, you know, then that's when they got the tents outside. That's when they, you know, they are so fast at like, what's the loophole? Okay, I'm jumping through that loop. Like, let me get it open. Let me keep it open. And you know what I mean? Like, Danny and I, we barely worked. I was maybe working 3 hours a day, if that. I'd maybe get like 12, 15 hours a week at some points. And like, I said that, I'm like, okay, so like, what can I do? Like, what do I need to do to, like, you know, if I do let go, like, your fingers crossed, I hope I don't. But like, what's the next move? Like, I left engineering. I wanted to become a brewer. So obviously the next step in that phase would be, you know, becoming an owner. I want to open up my own brewery, do my own thing. And then that's when, you know, that's how kind of Shojo was born. I mean, we didn't have the name yet. I just, like, you know, hey, would you be down to open a brewery together? And Mari gave me the thumbs up, and I'm like, all right, let's run it. So so you can say your piece, and then I guess I'll say how Shojo came to be.
Like, on my side, it's like kind of like how Cantor pivoted his point of view in life. I lost two family members because of COVID last year, and that kind of opened up my eyes, where like, every time I went running, I'm also a runner, but I don't run 100 miles like this guy.
I don't run 100 miles. My ankle popped at 60 and I got to 75. So 75 in 24 hours. But
he's an ultra marathon.
That's insane.
But that's insane. When I run, I have ADD. So like, when I am running or doing anything, basically I have like 20 million thoughts going through my head. And one of the things that I always thought about, like, after my grandma and my uncle passed away because of COVID. Mind you, my grandma was super healthy. Nothing was wrong with her. So to me, that was like a huge shock, because you were fine. Like, literally, you weren't supposed to be. My uncle was like almost 50, which is super young.
Yeah.
So while I'm running, I'm here breathing, and I'm like, I am so lucky. I'm breathing, I'm alive, while other people are grasping for air with this virus that's taking them down. And I'm like, what do I need to fulfill my life right now? Like, if I can do anything right now, what do I have left to do? Aside from traveling, we can't do that right now, or we couldn't back in quarantine. But when he asked me that question, like, do you want to open up our own brewery? I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I do marketing for other people's stuff. Why won't I market my own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
He brews for someone else. Why would you not brew for your own self?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So Shojo came to be because, aside, I'll get to the specifics of the Shojo itself, but we whatever we did, we wanted to mix our cultures into it. So, you know, as I said, I'm Lebanese, Mari's Nicaraguense, and there will be, you know, glimpses of our backgrounds within like the setting and the beers and all that stuff. So aside from that, one of our favorite like cultures in like general is the Japanese culture. So like we love the the culture, yes, but more so the tale, the yokai, the folklore, the yokai folklore. So like, you know, yokai in and of itself is kind of like a ghost or a deity, or like, you know, depending on which level of yokai you're speaking of. And we were just like, hey, why don't we like name our brewery like a yokai? And we both agreed like that'd be super fucking cool. And what we decided on was the shoujo. So the shoujo is a sea spirit. And all he does is hang out by the beach. He drinks. He likes to have fun. He likes to laugh. He brews his own stuff. And
he's very hairy.
So we
looked at so many yokais, and when we stumbled on that, I'm like, I don't need to look anymore. That's you.
And the one cool thing about the shoujo that I love,
the coolest thing,
is that the drink that you imbibe on from the shoujo will taste based on your personality. So if you're a good person, if you're a good human being, if you have good karma on you, that'll be the best drink you've ever had in your life. If you're a shitty person, it will be poison, it will be toxic, and it will probably kill you depending on how shitty you are.
Wow.
So that's something I love. And you know what I mean? Like,
disclaimer, we won't be killing people.
We're not going to be killing people. All the beers will be good. But that was one specific thing about the shoujo that I loved. It's like, you know, he brews his own things. He's just a happy spirit. He loves to laugh, but he's very wise as well.
Yeah.
And he's a sea spirit. We love the water. So, like, you know, and we're out here in Miami. So, you know, it worked out great.
that's amazing. That's amazing. So, you guys are contract brewing or Gypsy Brewing at Unbranded.
Yeah.
What's the plan from there?
Well, right now we are actually, so your viewers know, or your listeners know, that we're
Gypsy Brewing, not contract
brewing. Yeah, so we're Gypsy Brewing. That's the one thing. But
yeah, we'll be brewing all the beers.
Yeah,
for sure.
So
we love Unbranded.
We love Unbranded, and we're so happy and grateful that they are able to host us. We did a collab actually. So we did a rice lager that we fermented out with sake yeast.
Nice.
So really stoked for that. Yeah. We're canning May 12th and we're doing a release on May 22nd. So everybody could come out, hang out, have a great time. You know, you meet us, drink some dope beer, and you know,
what date
try
is this again?
Huh?
What date is this?
May 22nd.
May 22nd. Okay.
Well, May 22nd is the release.
Yeah. Debut for my birthday, so I'll definitely remember.
Ah, birthday, sick, dude. Yeah, come through. We got you.
I'm in.
So when we were sitting down thinking about what we wanted to do for the business or how we were going to approach the business, we were looking specifically at the Aslan Beer Co. model. So what Aslan did, and I'm sure, like, honestly, we just know it because we visited them and like we found out how they were running their business by accident. Our best friends, the Chongs, they were Chris Chong. He's in the Navy and he was stationed in Washington for a little bit, or Virginia Beach. And when we went up there, we hit a bunch of breweries, you know, drinking around and stuff. And we went to Aslan and they told us that, like, oh, you know, we're not actually,
we're not a tavern. You can just buy cans.
You can just buy cans and leave. Like, that, that's right? It.
Yeah, you just brew here, you buy cans, and go. And I'm like, okay. And like, at that moment, it didn't make sense. And I was really mad because we drove from basically,
it was like an hour and a half drive from, yeah.
To, like, I had heard, I loved Aslan since forever. I've had them at Box Elder, Union, you know, everywhere. So, like, then I started doing research on them. I'm like, oh, like, why don't they have a tap room?
Yeah.
And for years, they just were making beer and getting known in their state, in their Virginia town, I mean, Virginia state, and then just distroing, where I knew about them and I'm in Florida. which I thought that was fucking cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. Mind you, we're thinking about opening up a brewery, and I'm like, this will make the most sense for us right now because we're still basically in quote unquote quarantine. We're like, avoid huge crowds, events are frowned upon, even though people do it or whatever, you know, like people take, you have like a 50% of people that are down to go out and they don't care, and the other 50 are like skeptical about going out.
Yeah.
You know, like no happy medium.
For sure.
So I told him about that. Allison did. I'm like, hey, like, would you be down for that? Like, let's perfect our products. Let's
100%. Get our branding,
And let's get known all over the US so that when we do open up a tap from wherever it is, we're good. Like,
for sure.
No.
100%.
So what Asim was doing is actually phase two of our plan. Right now, like, it just makes the most sense because, you know, we're still kind of strapped for cash. So what we will be doing is Gypsy Brewing out of Unbranded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they already have their equipment. They have everything set. All I would be doing is renting space and purchasing materials. So, like, it's the cheapest, you know, way to move forward.
For sure, for sure.
And then the second phase would be the like what we encountered when we went to Asin that time. So they basically have a garage or had a garage or a warehouse, and they had a production system. They were brewing and they were canning. Like that's our phase two. So we would go lease a space or rent a space or maybe even purchase a space. Who knows down the line. And then install a production system and brew beer and can beer and still distro. Like we don't want to be renting from Unbranded for the foreseeable future. But you know, like that's where we're at right now. That's phase one. Then phase two, we buy our own system, we brew our own beers, and then we can it and distro it. Then the third phase would be to open a tap room. So, you know, for people that do want to come and hang out and drink beer at the tap room.
Yeah,
we also plan to have food as well. So it's going to be like a, but it, you know, it's, we're not going to rush anything like that. One thing that I've learned through life, I've learned through life is that, you know, you can't rush because when you rush, you tend to make mistakes, things falter, never works out. So right now we're actually going back and forth with the contract with Unbranded. So once that's done, everything signed, pen to paper, we're gonna start brewing our beer at Unbranded, and then we'll plan for phase two when we get enough capital.
Nice.
Just a clarification on anybody who doesn't know the difference between contract and Gypsy. You want to go ahead and like just tell us a small synopsis so people get a better understanding.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'm gonna use my good friend Lewis as an example. So Lewis is the owner and proprietor of Old Deck Brewing Company. I'm sure you've probably heard of them. Or so they do the Faded IPA. That will be the most known beer that you can have here in Miami. And what they do is contract brewing. So Lewis provides the recipe to the Tank Brewing Company, who actually brews the beer for them. So Lewis is like, hey, I want you to contract brew this beer for me. He gives them the recipe. You know, he can be there on brew days. He can tell them, hey, you know, like have your strike water at this, you know, do this. These are the hops I want to use, XYZ. So Tank will brew the beer for him, and then he will buy the beer, the finished product from Tank, right? And then he himself sells the beer to a distributor. And then the distributor distributes the beer.
Yeah.
So he's using Nomad Brewing. So like if you ever, you know, want Faded, you go to Nomad, you go to Lou. And yeah, that's how that works with contract brewing. So with Gypsy Brewing, it's me renting space out from Unbranded. And then I am the one brewing the beer in their space. So, you know, I'll rent out their five barrel system. I'll rent out their fermenter. I'll rent out all that stuff with, you know, like I will have the brewing team from Unbranded with me, you know, just to like, you know, hey, you're brewing in our space, but it's still our space, which,
for sure.
You know, it's great because if I ever have any questions on their system, I could just ask them.
Yeah, they're just making sure that you don't mess anything.
Yeah. So I'll rent out space for a certain amount of time for a set, you know, sum of money, and, you know, the product is mine. Like it's not them brewing and me buying it from them, even though it is Lewis's recipe and that is still his beer. It's me brewing my beer at their space.
For sure.
For sure. Oh, man. What beer styles will you guys be specializing in?
I'm really excited because we're coming out with, I don't want to say different things, because the beer styles are going to be like, you know, lagers for sure, because I love me a good crispy boy.
And also all Japanese people, when you ask them, we have a lot of Japanese chefs that they, we ask them like, hey, you love beer? Oh, you love beer. You're like, what's your favorite beer? This lager, pilsner, that's it. Like they, anything that goes for them with like their Japanese food, which is very like light, you know, think of fish, sushi, rice, rolls. It's like nothing heavy. So like they want something that's just like a cleansing for your food palate. So
yeah, definitely lagers.
All different types of lagers.
We're gonna do IPAs, we're gonna do sours, fruited sour ales.
Yeah.
We're gonna do stouts. So we're gonna do like all the. We're gonna do the things, but in our own way, right? So yes. I'll give you an example. The first beer that we're gonna brew, Adam branded as under the banner of Shoujo, is going to be a Kabosu and watermelon fruited sour ale. So really, really excited for that, because Kabosu is, you know, the typical citrus fruit that you hear of from Japan is the yuzu, right? So I'm sure if you bring up yuzu to anybody, like they've probably heard of it before.
Okay.
So the kobosu is another citrus fruit from Japan that's not, well, to me it's not as known, because I hadn't heard of it before until I was doing some research. So it's gonna be a pink, like citrus forward, like watermelon refreshing ale, and like
sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that's gonna be the first beer we're gonna be doing, and then nice. After that we're gonna be doing an IPA, and then either third or like in line with the IPA we'll do a lager, and then like we'll look at, you know, see how the first two did, and then depending on how those two did, probably do another sour, another IPA, and then like down the line maybe a stout.
For sure, man. Well, listen, you guys, you are both phenomenal human beings, and I enjoyed the past 36 minutes. I know we're a little bit over time, so we're just gonna go ahead and say thank you guys. Thank you for taking the time. Lastly, I want you guys to follow these three IG accounts. And Haydar, you want to tell them your IG account?
So that would be Thirsty Samurai Piggy.
Follow Shoujo Beautiful for our newest adventure together. And I am Little
Mari
with three eyes.
Nice. And I'll add a description to this. So to wrap this up, y'all down with going ahead and ending the show?
Let's hit it.
Let's go.
To the craft life community, keep supporting your local craft breweries. Peace and love. We out.
Cheers.
Oh, I have nothing in my glass, so.
Cheers.